نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so last time we were discussing the chapter about what has been revealed of the book that apparently is general in meaning, but it includes some general and some specific meaning in it. And one of the examples was that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى، we have created you from a male and female. And this is applicable to every male and female throughout the time. And then the rest of the ayah says, إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ، indeed the most honorable among you are those who will be before Allah are those with the most taqwa. This is a specific meaning. It applies only to the people who have taqwa. Thank you so much. Now, the next chapter section is about that which has been revealed. Apparently, it is general in meaning, but it is all specific. There is no part of it that's general, all of it is specific. And Imam Shafi rahimahullah said, وقال الله تبارك وتعالى الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. The literal meaning of this ayah is those who to whom the people said, indeed the people have gathered, which means like Sarafa, which means they gather their forces to fight against you. So fear them. But this increased them in Iman, and they said, sufficient is Allah to us, and He is indeed the best of supporters. Now, as you see, the word Anas here, the people have been used in different sense. Or in two different senses, and you will see what it means. قال الشافعي فإذ كان من مع الناس مع من رسول الله ناس غير من جمع لهم الناس كان المخبرون لهم ناس غير okay. غير من جمع لهم وغير من معه ممن جمع عليهما وكان الجامعون لهم ناسا. فالدلالة بينة مما وصفت من أنه إنما جمع لهم بعض الناس دون بعض. Which means that he says that the people, first let me translate what he's saying. He says if those who were with Rasulullah ﷺ are people, and there are some people who are different from those who gathered their forces against him, have those who told them that some other people have gathered their forces are another group of people. Which means, you know, in the Quran, Allah is using the word nas, which means people, in two different senses. And also there is a third group of people who are the Prophet ﷺ and those with him. So this, indeed, this he says, those who told them are some people are who are different from those who gathered for them, and are different from those who are with him, that the forces were gathered against them. وَكَانَ جَمِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَاسًا, and those who gathered their forces were people. Some people, yeah. So it is clear from here, or this gives a clear indication to what I described, which is that those who gathered their forces against them were only some people and not all people. So what he's saying is that this ayah uses the word nas, people, which is general in Arabic. But it doesn't mean all people gathered their forces against you, because there are three groups of people described in this ayah. The Prophet ﷺ and those with him, and those who are against him, and the third group who are trying to scare them, saying, look, some people are gathering their forces against you, so be scared. So he said there are three groups of people, and Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the two groups who are those who are fighting with the Prophet, against the Prophet ﷺ, and those who are telling him or warning him about those other people. And he's using the same word nas for both groups. But definitely the word nas is not general. It doesn't mean all people. In one case it's referring to a specific group of people, the other case to another specific group of people. And there is a third group of people that are not mentioned in both in both words, I mean. So even though the word nas is saying, he means that even though the word nas is general, but it means something specific. وَالْعِلْمُ يُحِيطُ, here he has there is in the footnote one discussion, because Imam Shafi'i uses the word الْمُخْبِرُونَ لَهُمْ نَاسًا غَيْرَ مَجْمَعَ لَهُمْ, those who told them were people other than those who gathered the forces against them. Why he used the word نَاسًا instead of نَاسٌ? Because if the people are the subject of the sentence, they are the ones who gather the forces, then it should be with dham, which means nasun, and not with fatha, which means nasan. So why did he do that? Why Imam Shafi'i said this? So he's trying to explain that this has some possible explanation in Arabic, why it could be in the sentence like this. And I'll just skip it, because you know it's like a detailed grammatical discussion. وَالْعَلْمُ يُحِيطُ أَلَّمْ يَجْمَعْ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ وَلَمْ يُخْبِرْهُمُ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ وَلَمْ يَكُونُهُمُ النَّاسَ كُلَّهُمْ, saying the knowledge tells us, or our knowledge, that not all the people gather their forces against them, and they were not told by all people, they were not warned by all people, and they themselves, they were not all the people. وَلَكِنَّهُ لَمَّا كَانَ اسْمُ النَّاسِ يَخْوَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ نَفَرٍ, but because the word الناس is applicable to three groups of people, وَعَلَى جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ, as well as all of people, all of the humanity, وَعَلَى مَنْ بَيْنَ جَمِيعِهِمْ وَثَلَاثَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ, and it is applicable also to those who are specific from the large group of people. Now we have to start talking with sets and subsets, like in the math theory of sets. If you know that, right? But like you have the large or universal set of people, and then there is a subset, another subset, a third subset of people, and they all are called nas, and then there are some other sets between that could be made up. عَلَى مَنْ بَيْنَ جَمِيعِهِمْ وَثَلَاثَةٍ مِنْهُمْ, and this also applies to three specific groups of them. كَانَ صَحِيحًا فِي لِسَانِ الْعَرَبِ أَنْ يُقَالَ, because of this, it would be correct in the language of the Arabs to say الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, those to whom the people said, وإنما الذين قال لهم ذلك أربعة نفر. Even though those who said, who told them this, are indeed only four people, which means those who came and warned the Prophet ﷺ and tried to scare him were only four people, as is known in the seerah. أربعة نفر يعنون المنصرفين إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم يعنون المنصرفين عن أحد. The people have gathered their forces against you. They mean by that those who withdrew from the fight in Uhud. Okay, because what happened is that not all the believers, not all the Muslims of the Medina fought with the Prophet ﷺ in Uhud. Some of them withdrew, and they were mostly the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. And then other people came to the Prophet ﷺ to scare him, and they were saying, there are so many people gathering to fight you in addition to the other people who are already coming to fight them from Quraysh. So they were trying to make them lose heart so that they would lose the battle morally, or yeah, morally, before they lose it in reality. وَإِنَّمَا هُمْ جَمَاعَةٌ غَيْرُ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And they are therefore indeed not a large group of people. الْجَامِعُونَ مِنْهُمْ غَيْرُ الْمَجْمُوعِ لَهُمْ. And those who gathered their forces are other than those who were, the forces were gathered against them. He's just repeating, you know, around the same meaning. وَالْمُخْبِرُونَ الْمَجْمُوعِ لَهُمْ غَيْرُ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ. And those who were telling were other than the two groups. وَالْأَكْثَرُ مِنَ النَّاسِ فِي بُلْدَانِهِمْ غَيْرُ الْجَمِيلَ وَلَا الْمَجْمُوعِ لَهُمْ وَلَا الْمُخْبِرِينَ. And the majority of the people are not the ones who are gathered, the forces are gathered against them, nor عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله خير إن شاء الله. جزاك الله خير. لا لا ماشي. الله يبارك فيك. الله يجزيك خير. لا لا ماشي. الله يسلمك. السلام. So the majority of people are neither the ones who are with the Prophet ﷺ, nor the others against them, nor the third group who told them about it. So there are still many, many more people besides these three groups. وَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ وَإِنْ يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهُ ضعف الطالب والمطلوب. And Allah said, O people, a parable has been given. This is different now, He is giving a different example. A parable has been given, so listen to it. Indeed, those that you invoke instead of Allah or with Allah, they will not be able to create a fly even if they get all their capabilities, knowledge together for that purpose. And if the fly takes away from them a small thing, they would never be able to get it back from it. دعف الطالب والمطلوب. Indeed, the one who is seeking, which means seeking the to catch the fly, والمطلوب, and that which is being sought, which is the fly itself, they are both weak. So the fly is weak, but the people are weak because they cannot protect themselves from or take away from the fly that which fly takes from them. قال فمخرج اللفظ عام على الناس كلهم وبين عند أهل العلم بلسان العرب منهم أنه إنما يراد بهذا اللفظ العام المخرج بعض الناس دون بعض. He says it's the appearance of the word annas here, the people, is general. It applies to all of the people, but it's clear according to those who have the knowledge of the Arabic language that it only refers to some group of people and not another, which means not all people. لأنه لا يخطر بهذا إلا من يدعو من دون الله إلها. Because no one is addressed with this address except those who are what? Which people, which group of people this ayah is referring to? When it says all people, an example or a parable has been given. Listen to it. Those that you invoke with Allah cannot create a fly. So which people is this ayah referring to? Right, those people, the subgroup of people, not all people, the people, the mushrikeen, those who join partners with Allah. لأنه لا يخاف هذا ما يدعو دون الله إله. Because no one is addressed by this except those who invoke with Allah other gods. تعالى عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. Exalted be He above what they claim, a great exaltation. لأن فيهم من المؤمنين المغلوبين على عقولهم وغير البالغين مما لا يدعو معه إلها. Because there are among them those who are believers. Well, he's mentioning, I think there is like some text which has been dropped either by the scribes who wrote down the text of what Imam Shafi is saying, or he himself, you know, skipped an idea and he went to another idea. Because what he's saying is that there are among them believers who are overpowered over their intellects, and those who have not attained puberty, who do not invoke others with Allah. Now, this is true, but there's also other people in general, all other believers who do not join partners with Allah. And so what the sentence missing, or the idea that is missing, is that in addition to that, there is also, even among those who appear to be making dua to other than Allah or joining partners with Allah, even among them there are some who are not considered part of them, and those are those who are overpowered over their intellect, or those who have not attained puberty, and therefore they do not yet count as being part of these or a part of this. قال وهذا في معنى الآية قبلها عند أهل العلم باللسان. He says this is similar in meaning to the previous ayah according to those who have knowledge of the language. والآية قبلها أوضح. Even though the previous ayah is more clear in explaining this idea, عند غير أهل العلم, according to those who do not have knowledge, or according to the non-learned people, the first ayah is more obvious in this, in reflecting this meaning. لِكَثْرَةِ الدِّلَالَاتِ فِيهَا, because of the many proofs in it. قال الشافعي قال الله تبارك وتعالى ثم أفيد من حيث أثار الناس. So all the examples he's using are concerning the world and nas, or the people so far. He says, and Allah says, ثم أفيد, and then أفيد إثارة means go down, descend, من حيث أثار الناس, from the place where the other people have descended. No. This ayah that we just read now,
when the general specific, they're talking about there are some amongst them, the ones who have achieved puberty are the ones who are overpowered by the intellect. They're not considered to be.
No, he's that previous ayah. I mean, there are people of the believers,
yes,
who are counted as being among the disbelievers. You know, like for instance, let's say people in a Kafir country, and they are Muslims, but their voice is not heard because they are overpowered.
Yes.
Their aqul, which means their intellect, which means their ability to declare what they believe, is not there. They are overpowered by the majority of the people. And also there are, in such a Kafir country, people who are below the age of puberty, and even if they would have grown up to be not to be overpowered over their intellect, but still they cannot say anything. They do not what they say doesn't count yet, because they are still too young. So they are both of these groups. So he says, as for the next ayah, Allah is just saying, then descend from where the people have descended. And this is referring to Hajj. This is referring to Hajj. Allah Azzajal is saying, this is Surah Al-Baqarah, that after you go to Arafat, then from Arafat descend the way that the people used to descend before you, which means by the people, it means the people before you, people before Islam, how they used to go after Arafat to Muzdalifah. So descend the same way they descended, follow the same sequence like they did. فَالْعَلْمُ يُحِيطُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كُلَّهُمْ لَمْ يَحْضُرُوا عَرَفَ فِي زَمَانِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So the knowledge is encompassing in regard to the fact that, which means it is obvious, in other words, inshaAllah, if Allah wills, that not all the people were present in Arafah during the time of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is not an address to every single human being in the time of the Prophet ﷺ or after him, of course. وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِهَذَا وَمَّا even and the ones who are meant by this ayah, أَفِيلُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَفَضَ النَّاسِ, descend like the other people descended, is Rasulullah and those who were with him. ولكن صحيح من كلام العرب أن يقال أفيد من حيث أفضل الناس يعني بعض الناس. But it is correct in the Arabic language when saying descend from where the people descended, that means from where some people have descended. Or else this ayah probably means Allahu A'lam, and this seems the way that he is interpreting it, is that ثم أفيدوا, then descend, which means an address to all Muslims through the times. من حيث أفضل الناس, the same way that the people, meaning the Prophet ﷺ and those who were with him, descended. So they follow this pattern, you follow the same pattern after them. وهذه الآية في مثل معنى الآيتين قبلها. This ayah has the same meaning as the two ayat before it. وهي عند العربي, which means similar meaning to the previous ayat in terms of the use of the word الناس, of course, not in terms of the overall meaning of the ayat. وهي عند العربي سواء, and according to the Arabs, this understanding is the same from the three ayat. والآية الأولى أوضح عندما يجهل لسان العربي من الثانية والثانية أوضح عندهم من الثالثة. But as for those who do not have a knowledge of the language of the Arabs, to them the first ayah is more clear than the second, and the second is more clear than the third. وليس يختلف عند العرب وضوح هذه الآيات معا. But it is not unclear or confusing to the Arabs that all of these three ayahs are clear. لأن أقل البيان عندها كاف من أكثره, because little explanation to them or clarification to them, to the Arabs, is sufficient or suffices them from additional need for additional explanation. إنما يريد السامع فهم قول القائل فأقل ما يفهمه به كاف عنده, because the one who wants to hear something or who is listening, the listener, all that he needs to do is understand what the speaker is saying, and the least amount that the speaker says that makes him understand is sufficient for him. So in other words, you know, if you are talking to me and you explain to me something and you can tell me in three words what you mean, then there is no need for me to hear you saying 100 words to explain the same thing, because I already understood it from three words, right? And this happens many times, you know, that like somebody calls me and he wants to explain a problem, to ask me a question, and then he starts talking, and I, you know, I find that they are repeating the same story again and again, so I start trying to finish work on my desk and some other things, finishing, waiting for them to finish their story. I don't find I give them the answer in 1 second, you know, or a few seconds. So they could be brief and they tell you their story in a few words. So what he's saying is that it's preferable to be concise in telling your story. وقال الله جل ثناؤه وقودها الناس والحجارة. Here's the fourth example, and also it uses the word الناس here. He says, talks about the hellfire. He says, وقودها الناس والحجارة. Its fuel is made of people and stones. The fuel of the fire in the hell, of the hellfire. Its fuel is the people and stones. Now, فدل كتاب الله على أنه إنما وقودها بعض الناس. But the book of Allah clearly indicates that its fuel are not all the people, but some people. بقول الله إن الذين سبقت لهم من الحسنى أولئك عنهم مبعدون. For Allah says, for example, those who to them have reaped from us the good thing, which means who have received good favor from us, which means the believers, أولئك عنهم مبعدون, they will be kept away from it. They will be kept away from the fire. So not everybody will enter the hellfire. Let's see where we are now. Let's still on the first half hour. This finishes this section. Now in the next section he's talking about الصنفُ الذي يبين سياقه معنى. There are some cases, different cases. We talked about the general, which is meant to be general. We talked about the general text, which are mixed, general and specific. And also there are texts which are general but they are strictly specific, like in the last section. And now he's talking about texts which the meaning of them can only be understood from the context. So the context, the flow of the text, will tell us what is exactly meant by that word or by that term. قال الله تبارك وتعالى واسألهم عن القرية التي كانت حاضرة البحر إذ يعدون في السبت استأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا ويوم لا يسبتون لا تأتيهم. السلام عليكم. كذلك نبلوهم بما كانوا يفسقون. Which means ask them and ask them about the village that was by the sea. Ask them, ask the Jews, يعني. That means the Jews. About the village where the Jews used to be, a village for the Jews. الذي كانت حاضرة البحر, which was by the seashore. إذ يعدون في السبت, when they used to violate or transgress on Saturday, on Sabt. إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم, and Sabt means Saturday or means the Sabbath, the day of, maybe Sabt comes from Sabbath, means the day where they are not supposed to be working, but they used to transgress on that Sabbath day. إذ تأتيهم حيتانهم يوم سبتهم شرعا. On Saturday, Allah Azza wa Jal would make the fish come to them easily floating on the surface of the water. وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ. And on the days where they are not doing Sabbath, which means the other days of the week, the fish will not come to them like that, as easy. So what did they do? They thought Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to make it easy for them during their rest day, that here is the fish, so you don't have to hunt. It comes to you, just eat what you need and that's it. They are not allowed to work on Saturday. They were not. But they thought they will make some tricks. So they set their nets on Friday night, and when the fish comes on Saturday, it was caught by the nets, and then on Sunday morning they collect all the fish that they came on Saturday. So they thought by that they tricked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was the way they transgressed on their Sabbath. كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. This is how we tried them, because of the way they used to be fasiq, which means they used to commit evil. فاتبع جل ثناؤه ذكر الأمر بمسألتهم عن القرية الحاضرة البحر. So Allah عز وجل started جل ثناؤه, may he be exalted, his glory. He started by mentioning, started this subject by asking them about a village which was by the sea. فلما قال إذ يعدون في السبت, then when he said, when they used to transgress during Saturday, دل على أنه إنما أراد أهل القرية. This is not talking about the houses of the village and the streets and so on that they transgressed. He's talking about the people who lived in that village. So even though he starts by saying, ask them about the village which was by the sea, he said next when they used to transgress during Saturday, so he is like Salah. So it means the people of that village. لأن القرية لا تكون عادية ولا فاسقة بالعدوان في السبت ولا في غيره. Because the village itself would not be transgressing or evil doer by transgression, whether it's in Saturday or other times. وأنه إنما أراد بالعدوان أهل القرية الذين بلاهم بما كانوا يفسقون. And that he only meant by transgression the people of the village, that Allah tried them because of their corruption or their evil doing. وقال, and also Allah said, وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانُوا ظَالِمَةً وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. And how many village we have destroyed that was evil doer or same thing, transgression or transgressing or doing injustice. وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. And we have created after it or raised after it other people. So how many such villages we have destroyed and then brought after them other people. فَلَمَّا أَحَسُّوا بَأْسَنَا إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَرْكُضُونَ. And then when they felt our punishment, they started running away from it, from that village. وهذه الآية في مثل معنى الآية قبلها. This ayah is similar in meaning to the previous ayah. فذكر قسم القرية. So he mentioned the destruction of the village. فلما ذكر أنها ظالمة, and then when he mentioned that it is transgressing, بان للسامع أن الظالمة إنما هم أهلها. It became apparent to the, or clear to the listener, that what is meant is the people of the village. دون منازلها التي لا تظلم. And not the houses in that village which do not commit injustice. ولما ذكر القوم المنشئين بعدها, and when he mentioned the people who were raised after that destruction of the village, وذكر إحساسهم بالبأس عند القسم, and he mentioned how they felt the power of Allah Azza wa Jal at the time of destruction. أحاط العلم أنه إنما أحس البأس من يعرف البأس من الآدميين. This indicated that those who understood the power and punishment of Allah or who felt it are those who can distinguish that this is a punishment from Allah among the human beings. So he's talking about that there are two things in this ayah which we can, two examples in this ayah related to what we are talking about. So the first one is about the village, and again what we are talking about is that the village, the flow of the text tells us the meaning of some words sometimes. So when it says like in For example, I probably can give a I don't know if he'll bring it or not, but it's a good example in this regard, because it explains both meanings that he mentioned and that he referred to but did not mention. In Surah Al-Hajj, for example, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ قَصَمْنَا وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا فَهِيَ خَوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ. Yeah, which means how many village there is which we have destroyed, and so it is now empty upon its pillars or whichever way it was built. وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ, and how many well is now unfunctional. وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ, and a highly established palace. So here in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about destruction of the village, but he does not mean the village itself, he means the destruction of the people of the village. But also he tells us about the village that its wells and its palaces and its pillars and so on are still there. So in that case the two meanings are combined. The flow of the text tells us that in one case he meant أهلكناها, we destroyed it, means its people. And in the other part of the ayah he means it's still there, which means the village itself is still there. Okay? So the flow, the context tells us what is meant by قرية in that case. And in one ayah you see that قرية means two things over there. So here he brought two examples to show that when Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about the villages and their transgression, he means the people of the villages. Here is another part or type, even though he did not put a separate heading for it as being a section, but it's a small section. الصنف الذي يدل لفظه على باطنه دون ظاهره. There is a part, maybe it's like a subsection of that previous section. There is a part or some text that the text itself or the context tells us what is meant by it in batin, which means in the non-apparent way and not in the apparent way. Now this will be clear inshallah from the example. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَقَالَتْ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى لَهُ يَحْكِي قَوْلَ إِخْوَةِ يُوسُفَ لِأَبِيهِمْ. Allah says about the brothers of Yusuf, when they were speaking to their father, they said, مَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا وَالْيَارَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا وَإِنَّا لِصَادِقُونَ. When they came to their father and they said that their second brother, youngest brother, because after they lost Yusuf, you probably know the story, right? Yes. So they first lost Yusuf and then they lost his brother Benjamin or Benjamin, and Benjamin was taken by Yusuf as a captive, or because so they said they said to their father, ما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا. We do not testify except according to what we know. وما كنا للغيب حافظين, and we do not have a record or a knowledge of the ghaib. Ghaib means part of it is meaning unseen, because not only unseen, ghaib is everything that you cannot reach with your perception, like with your hearing, with your seeing, or with your senses. So they said we do not have a knowledge of the ghaib. So what they are telling him, that we are telling you what we saw, not something that is hidden. We did not have the knowledge of the ghaib and know that our brother was going to be taken. We did not, you know, make up this kind of scene. It happened like this. وَسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّ فِيهَا. And if you do not believe us, they mean وَسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّ فِيهَا. Ask the village where we were, or the town where we were, or the city where we were, because the word village sometimes is used in Arabic to mean town or city, even though it's most commonly now used as village. So they said, and ask the qarya, the village, where we were. وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا. And the camels that we came with. وَإِنَّا رَصَادِقُونَ. Indeed, we are telling you the truth. So they are telling him, if you do not believe us, ask the city and ask the camel, the camels. So what does it mean? What does that mean? Go to the camel and talk to him and have a private meeting with him and ask him what you think, what happened exactly. Or go to the town, to the city, and go to the doors of the city, to the houses, to the streets, and ask them, and so on. Doesn't mean that. So what does it mean? It means the people of the city. It means the riders and drivers of the camels, and so on. So ask those people. فهذه الآية في مثل معنى الآيات قبلها. So this ayah has a similar meaning to the ones before it. لا تختلف عند أهل العلم باللسان. It does not differ according to the people, or they do not differ according to those who have the knowledge of the tongue, of the Arab tongue. إنهم إنما يخاطبون أباهم بمسألة أهل القرية وأهل العير. And that they are only telling their father to ask the people of the village and the people of the camels. لأن القرية والعير لا ينبئان عن صدقهم. Because the village and the camels themselves, they cannot tell, speak to say whether they are truthful or not. So this is the I don't know why. I mean, this appears to me like similar to the previous one, or a continuation of the same meaning, that the context tells us what is meant by the term, but why he brought here that يدل لفظه على باطنه دون ظاهره, that the text indicates what is hidden and not what is apparent of its meaning. I don't know. I mean, probably because the meaning is not, the apparent meaning is village and camels. This is the apparent meaning. But the hidden meaning, the non-apparent, the hidden, is that what is meant is the people of the village and the people of the camels. But at the same time, the other ayat are the same. Because the apparent meaning is village, and the hidden meaning, or the actually intended meaning, is not the apparent, but the some other meaning, which is the people. So it seems to me that this is just part of the other one, without needing a separate subheading. Now here is the beginning of a long section about, and this is an important section, in fact. I would rather keep it together. This shows about the importance of the Sunnah. I mean, it's mostly about the importance of the Sunnah. But we can at least, you know, start a little bit to prepare for next time, inshallah. But most of the discussion will be kept together. This section is about ما نزل عاما دلت السنة خاصة على أن الوارد به الخاص. There are some texts that are revealed in the Quran which have a general, which are general, appear to be general in meaning. But the Sunnah tells us that they are not general as they appear, but they are restricted in meaning. So the Sunnah restricts the general meaning that appears in the Quran. Examples. قال الله جل ثناؤه ولأبويه لكل واحد منهما السدس مما ترك إن كان له ولد فإن لم يكن له ولد ويرث أبواه فلأمه الثلث وإن كان له إخوة فلأمه السدس. Allah, as I just said, that means, and for his parents, for each one of them, there is 1/6. This is in regard to the inheritance.
Oh.
That when someone dies, and you can understand this in detail from my book, Final Bequest, but where I brought all the texts about inheritance and discussed them. But now, in my rough translation, he's saying that for his parents, or the one who is deceased, each one of them gets 1/6, which means of his estates, of what he leaves behind. Matarak, 1/6 of what he left. That is when he has children. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ وَلَدٌ. But if he does not have or did not have children, وَرِثَهُ أَبَوَاهُ, and his parents inherited him, فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثُ, then his mother gets only 1/3. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ فَلِأُمِّهِ السُّدُسُ, and if he had siblings, then his mother gets 1/6. So this ayah is talking about three situations where a deceased person had children. Then in this case, his parents get 1/6 each. His parents are still alive, of course. His mother and father are still alive, were still alive when he died. Then each one of them would get 1/6 of his estate. So together they would get 1/3, 2/6, which means 1/3. Now, if he did not have children when he died, then each one of his parents, it doesn't say actually, it says if he did not have children and his parents inherit him, then his mother gets 1/3. Now, what would the father get? What would the father get in this case?
He was 1/3. And
because the first case,
he's going to get 1/6 and 1/3.
2/3, yeah. Possibly.
1/6 and 1/3.
Uh huh.
Well, I mean, you know, if it was a children, they were going to get 1/6 apiece. And then, but now it's only getting 1/3, and you're going to get 1/6 and the other portion of the 1/3.
Right. In the first case, the father and the mother were equal.
No.
Each one takes 1/6, as is clear from the ayah. The second case, he only tells us, Allah tells us only what the mother gets, which is 1/3. He doesn't tell us what the father gets. And this I discuss in my book there. Because there are different cases. There are cases, let's say, where he has absolutely no other relatives, and that the only inheritors are the mother and the father. In this case, the father takes the rest. Mother takes the third, the father takes the 2/3. And there are cases where he has some other relatives who would inherit. And in that case, let's say, for example, he has a wife. Or two, wife or two, it doesn't matter. Okay, then the wife will take 1/4. And what would the father get in this case? So that you'll find that in some cases there will be situations where the father may, if you do not do it right, and this was discussed by Umar radiallahu anhu, the Sahaba, the father may end up getting less than the mother. So, anyways, this is the second case. And if you want detail, you can go to that book. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُ إِخْوَةٌ. But if he had brothers, which means if he dies without children, but he has brothers, then his mother gets 1/6.
So when you first translate, you said siblings, does it make a difference whether it's brothers or
sisters? Brothers and sisters, siblings. Okay. Ikhwa, sorry. Ikhwa means brothers and sisters, huh?
They have to be Muslim?
Yeah, of course they have to. Fayyum Yisr. So in this case, his mother gets 1/6. What does the father get? Same thing, Allah does not tell us. I think this is a case which is more complex because, you know, taking it on, in light of the other ayat which talk about the brothers and what they take and the sisters, you find that the father may end up getting too little. And alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. وَقَالَ وَلَكُمْ نُصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ إِلَّمْ يَكُلْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ. And you get half of what you... This is... let's see. This is the next ayah of Surah Al-Nisa. وَلَكُمْ نِصْفُ مَا تَرَكَ أَزْوَاجُكُمْ. You would get half of what your wives have left behind. إِلَّمْ يَكُلْ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ. If they did not have children. فَإِنْ كَانَ لَهُنَّ وَلَدْ. But if they had children, فَلَكُمْ الرُّبُعُ. You get one quarter. إِمَّا تَرَكْنَا. Of what they leave. من بعد وصية يوصين بها أو دين. After a will or debts that have to be paid. ولهن ربع مما تركتم. And in the case of the wives, it is one quarter. They get one quarter of what you left. إن لم يكن لكم ولد. If you did not have any children. But if you have children, فإن كان لكم ولد فلهن ثمن مما تركتم. They would get one eighth of what you leave. من بعد وصية توصون بها أو دين. And that is after a wasiyah, a bequest that you made after or a debt, which means after removing from the estate the bequests and the debts. وإن كان رجل يورث كلالة أو امرأة. And if a man is inherited and he did not have anybody to inherit him of children, that is, أو امرأة, or a woman that have no other relatives to inherit except the brothers and the sisters. وله أخ أو أخت. And he has a brother or a sister. فلكل واحد منهما السدس. Then each one of them will get one sixth. And the ulama agree here that this ayah is referring to the siblings who are from the mother side, from the mother only, which means the maternal siblings. It's talking about, and he has a brother and a sister, means from his mother. Not full brothers and full sisters. Half brothers and half sisters. فلكل واحد منهما سدس. Each one of them in that case would get one sixth. Which means if he has like two sisters, two half sisters, or two half brothers, or a brother and a sister, then each one of them would get one sixth. فلكل واحد منهما سدس. But if there were more than two, because the ayah says أخٌ أو أختٌ, if he has a brother or a sister, but it's talking about two things, then each one of them will get one sixth. فإن كانوا أكثر من ذلك, if they are more than them, which means more than two, فهم شركاء في الثلث, then they would still only get third, because one sixth and one sixth is one third. Now we are taking a math, morning math class. Each one of them gets one sixth, total two, one third, right? If there were more than two, still they would get only one third. One third.
Divide between them.
Divide between them. No. Right. And here the scholars differ whether it's divided equally or the male gets twice the female. But I think the opinion that I found most correct is that in this case, in case of the maternal siblings, they are equally. They equally share the inheritance. The question is, what if he had only one brother or one sister? Then they take only one sixth, right? Not two sixths. They don't take the third. They take only one sixth. If there are two and more, then they take the third. And what happens to the rest of the money? You have to go to that book to see what. Who take the rest of the money? Whether it's Uncle Sam or Aunt Sam, Sammy or whatever. من بعد وصية يوصى بها أو دين غير مضار. After, and this is all, it's always like this. This is all after giving away or taking out the bequest that he bequeathed. أو دين غير مضار, or taking any debts. All of which were not meant to be to cause harm. Because some people will make bequests to harm the heirs. They don't want, they want to deprive some of their heirs from money, so they make a bequest for that purpose. Or they fake some debt to give away some money after they die. So this has to be certain to be not meant for better, for harming the heirs. وصية من الله, this is a command from Allah. Wallahu alimun halim. And Allah, all knowing and tolerant. فأبانا أن الوالدين والأزواج مما سمى في الحالات وكان عام المخرج. فدلت سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أنه إنما أريد به بعض الوالدين والأزواج دون بعض. He says that these ayat are talking about some parents and some spouses. They were mentioned in a general manner in this text. But the sunnah of Rasulullah indicated that what is meant is some of the parents and some of the spouses, but not the others. وَذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ دِينُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْمَوْلُودِ وَالزَّوْجَيْنِ وَاحِدًا. And that is that the religion of the parents and the offspring and the spouses should be the same. لا يكون الوارث منهم قاتلا ولا مملوكا. And that the heir or the inheritor among them should not be a killer. Because if somebody killed his father, he cannot inherit him. Right? Or his mother or something like that.
So if my father, who is not Muslim, died, I can't receive anything.
No, we'll get to that, inshallah. Okay. ولا مملوكا. And he cannot be a slave. So وقال من بعد وصية يوصى بها أو دين. And he said that this is after the wasiyah, after the bequeathal and after the debt. فأبان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الوصايا مقتصر بها على الثلث. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم explained that the bequeathal has to be restricted to one third, which means it cannot be, you cannot bequeath more than one third of your estate to your to other than the you cannot bequeath it, period. لا يتعدى, and this cannot be bypassed. ولأهل الميراث الثلثان, and the people, the heirs, the other people who inherit, they get the two thirds at least, at least. وبان أن الدين قبل الوصايا والميراث. And he explained, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that the debt has to be paid before wasiyah, before the bequeathal, and before the heirs take their shares. وَأَلَّا وَصِيَّةَ وَلَا مِيرَاثَ حَتَّى يَسْتَوْفِيَ أَهْلُ الدَّيْنِ دَيْنَهُمْ. And that there is no bequeathal, which means no bequeathal is paid, وَلَا مِيرَاثَ, and no heir and no inheritance, until first the people of the debts, the debtors that is, will receive their debts. So first the debts must be paid, and then you worry about other things. ولولا دلالة السنة ثم إجماع الناس لم يكن ميراثا إلا بعد وصية أو دين. And if it were not explained by the Sunnah and by the consensus of the people, and here by the people you mean the ulama, then there would not have been an inheritance except after paying the bequeathal and the debt. وَلَمْ تَعْدِ الْوَصِيَّةُ وَلَمْ تَعْدُ الْوَصِيَّةُ what the sunnah of the wasiyyah is مِرَاثٌ إِلَّا بَعْدَ وَصِيَّةٍ أَوْ دَيْنٍ. And that's what it is. وَلَمْ تَعْدُ الْوَصِيَّةُ أَنْ تَكُونَ مُبَدَّاتًا عَلَى الدَّيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَ وَالدَّيْنِ سَوَاءً. And this is already, I mean, the first part is already what is agreed to. But maybe he is referring to the second part, which is that the wasiyah, the bequeathal, would come before the debt or will be equal to the debt. Which means if we take the text of the ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the bequeathal first, then the debt. So you would say that they are equal in importance, or that the bequeathal goes before the debt. But we know from the sunnah and from the consensus of the ulama that no, the debt goes first. First you have to give the debt, and after that you look into the bequeathals. Okay, we'll stop here. he finished with this example and commenting on it, then there are other examples, and then when he will highlight the importance of the sunnah, inshallah, we get to this next time. As for your what you are saying about the taking money from, inheriting money from the parents who are not Muslims, this is also discussed in the book, so you got to buy the book to learn about it. But anyways, it is these ayahs are talking about normal inheritance, that you cannot be a normal heir of your parents if you are a different religion in a Muslim country or a Muslim state. You are not allowed to be an heir to them, or they be heirs to you if you have different religions, if you are Muslim and they are not Muslims, or vice versa. But that doesn't mean that you cannot bequeath to them. You can bequeath money to them up to one third, and they can bequeath money to you as much as they want. If they want to bequeath everything, it's up to you, to them. And if the state decides to give you the money after they die because there's nobody else, no other relative, same thing. I mean, it's permissible.
So there seems to be a difference between when you're using bequeathal and in your heir. So what other things can fall under? What would else would you bequeath things to?
Okay, by heir I mean the normal heir, that okay. The legal heir Islamically, that would have a specified prescribed share.